Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Well, today we begin our study in a new book, that is, a new book as far as our studying the Bible is concerned of the Beacon Broadcast. There are no new books. The Bible is a complete package of 66 books. It was concluded and closed 2,000 years ago, and so there are no new books, but you understand what I'm saying. We are moving out of the book of Ecclesiastes, where we have sojourned over the last several months. And we are going to be moving into a new book study, which I will identify in just a moment. Now, let me say that we are going to go back to the New Testament. We have spent quite a bit of time in the Old Testament, not only the book of Ecclesiastes, but even the book of Malachi before that. And so we have spent some significant time in the Old Testament on the Beacon Broadcast, and I think that's very valuable because the Old Testament, to most Christians, is more neglected than the New Testament. But nevertheless, we want to be careful to balance truth and not to study exclusively from the New Testament, as some people do, but not to study exclusively from the Old Testament, as some people would like to do, to redress the imbalance that they see elsewhere. Now, when we studied the book of Ecclesiastes, I was of the opinion that that is one of the most neglected books in all the Bible. That may be so, that may not be so. There are a lot of different books that we could probably put forward as a potential to get the prize, if there is such a thing, as the most neglected book of the Bible. Ecclesiastes might be that one. There are some others that might fit that category. I was considering going next in our broadcast series to the book of Joel, because I think that is another very neglected book and probably one that very few Christians have studied, and maybe we will go to the book of Joel sometime in the future. But for now, and for a pretty good while, we're going to study the book of 1 Corinthians. And so thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, March 16. Many thanks to those whose financial gifts enable us to teach God's Word on this station. 1 Corinthians. It is a significant epistle in the New Testament for a number of reasons. It is one of the 13 epistles of Paul that are included in the New Testament. And since there are only 27 books in the New Testament, and 13 of them are penned by the Apostle Paul as the human author, all of them, of course, superintended and, in a very real sense, authored by the Holy Spirit of God. But since the Apostle Paul is the human author of 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament, we can say that he has almost written half of the New Testament. Now, if you break it down to number of words, that wouldn't be quite the case. But nevertheless, he wrote an awful lot of the New Testament, and that, of course, by God's design. And of all of the epistles that Paul wrote, the 13 that we have included, and he wrote more than are included, you understand that, But nevertheless, the Spirit of God included 13. That, of course, raises the question, are the other epistles that Paul penned but are not included in the New Testament, are they the inspired Word of God like the New Testament epistles are? And we'll get into that more a little bit later as we get along in our study of 1 Corinthians, but I would say probably not. But there's really no way to answer that question definitively, but probably not. Probably the ones that are included in our New Testament are inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, and others are probably not. But in any case, of the 13 that are included in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians is the second longest by word count, the very longest being Romans. And Romans is significant and weighty indeed, but 1 Corinthians is also significant and weighty, and it's not quite as theological or doctrinal as the book of Romans, but there is a lot of theology in it. But what it does is address many of the perplexing problems that Christians face. Certainly they were problems faced by the church at Corinth, and some would say, well, they had their set of problems, we have ours, ours are different from theirs. But as we get into this, you may discover that many of their problems are also our problems today. I think we're going to find the book of 1 Corinthians to be more relevant today than many people realize. But to get started, we have to start with the salutation, the introduction to the book, or the salutation in verses 1 through 3. And so that's where we will begin. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we see here? Well, we see, first of all, what I've called the channel of blessing, verse 1. Second, the objects of blessing, verse 2. And finally, the source of blessing, verse 3. The channel of blessing. We're talking about the inestimable blessings of belonging to Christ. Blessed are the sons of God. And we begin with the channel of blessing, who is none other than Paul, the human author of this book. He is the one that God is going to use to communicate truth, which is going to be a great blessing to the people of God at Corinth. Paul, back to verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother. The channel of blessing, the human author, is first and foremost Paul, who is identified here as one of the apostles of Christ. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. This is a perplexing issue in itself, the issue of apostleship. What exactly that term designates? Is it always used the same way in the New Testament? And I can tell you that it is not always used the same way. But when we're talking about an apostle of Jesus Christ in the same category as Paul, there were a very limited number. Now, the word apostle is a term that can be used in both a broad, general sense and a narrower, technical sense. Apostle, the word itself, simply means one who is sent, one who is a representative of another, one who goes with a commission from another. Emissary is a reasonable synonym. Ambassador comes pretty close to the meaning of the word apostle. And Paul identifies himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ, one who has been sent by Jesus Christ, one who is a an authorized representative of Jesus Christ, one who is an ambassador for Christ, and who would deny any of those statements in regard to the Apostle Paul. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and that's where this term begins to become more technical and more limited, because this identifies the kind of apostle that Paul was, the person, the one that he represents. And that limits this term apostle to a rather small group of people. In fact, there are many who believe that an apostle of Jesus Christ includes only the original 12 plus the one who was chosen in Acts chapter 1 to replace Judas, who forfeited his position as an apostle. That would be Matthias. And then Paul, an apostle who was, according to his own words, one born out of due season. But he is an apostle not of the church or of a church, and that's the way the term is used in other places in the New Testament. He is an apostle not even of some leader of the church or some other apostle. A person can be an apostle of an apostle. He can be sent by an apostle. He can be an emissary of an apostle or a representative of an apostle. The apostles sent workers to various places who were their representatives. They were there to carry out the ministry of the apostle, who could, of course, like all of us, only be in one place at one time. So it's possible to be an apostle of an apostle. It's possible to be an apostle of a church. A church can commission and send people out to represent them, to travel to other places, to represent them. For example, in the Council of Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15, there were some representatives there from some of the churches, and they would rightly be called apostles, but not apostles of Jesus Christ. They would be ones sent, commissioned, authorized by the church, or a church, one of the specific churches, to be that church's representative. Or they might be one sent, commissioned to represent an apostle of Jesus Christ in some way in his mission. But to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, called to be, as he tells us here, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, a word which means summoned or appointed, is an important word. In other words, Paul did not volunteer to become an apostle. Nobody volunteers to become an apostle of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not allow people to volunteer to become one of his apostles. He selected them, he called them, he summoned them, the ones whom he willed. And that's exactly what Paul is claiming here. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Not through the will of Paul, not through the will of any other man or group of men, but called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. He is an apostle of Jesus Christ because he was summoned. He was commandeered. If you doubt that, read his conversion experience on the Damascus Road and how he was called to be an apostle. And he mentions that in the opening of this epistle. He is the human author of the book, and who he is very important. The one who wrote this book, the words that are received by the church at Corinth, was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ by the will of God. We'll take it up tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.